tropical storm. Correspondent Jim Krasula says it's expected to gain strength to a hurricane sometime tonight before making landfall.
Forecasters expect a dangerous storm surge and up to 8 inches of rain, but shoppers at a Wilmington, North Carolina Home Depot did not seem too concerned.
I think it's just going to be a typical rainstorm. I don't think there's any really reason to worry or evacuate.
Just kind of picking the yard up, making sure everything's in place, but we're not too worried on this one.
President Trump has already approved an emergency declaration for North Carolina, which will make federal disaster relief funds quickly available if needed. Jim Krasula, CBS News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Lawyers for a Manhattan prosecutor trying to get President Trump's tax returns say it is justified because of public reports of extensive and protracted criminal conduct at the Trump Organization. The Manhattan district attorney is looking to get 8 years of the president's personal and corporate tax records. Nearly 27,000 acres continue to burn in Riverside County, California. The Apple fires forced thousands of people to flee their homes. Michael Carr is one of them.
The area that's burning right now hasn't burned in over 200 years. It's filled with a lot of dry brush, but this is the worst I've ever seen it up here.
Negotiations on a huge COVID-19 relief bill are set to resume this afternoon, but they come as people coast to coast refuse to follow federal guidelines, as CBS's Chris Martinez reports.
Nearly 1,000 people attended a boat party in East Peoria, Illinois this weekend, seemingly unconcerned about catching the virus.
Definitely not. Not at all.
And South Dakota is getting ready to welcome more than 250,000 bikers for the annual Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. In central Indiana, a school is temporarily closing 2 days after opening, after at least one staff member tested positive.
The virus is forcing Lord & Taylor to file for bankruptcy. Retail analyst Bert Flickinger.
For Lord & Taylor, a lot of its customers were older, and the states they competed in the Northeast were losing a big part of their population to the Sun Belt, where Lord & Taylor didn't have a footprint of stores.
CBS's Steve Futterman says the nation is getting younger.
Americans under 40, which includes so-called millennials and their younger counterparts, now make up a majority of the population. This according to the Brookings Institution. The emerging new majority could portend a change in national policies as well. Younger Americans are more likely to support more progressive positions on issues like immigration and racial reform.
The Dow is up 273, NASDAQ up 178. This is CBS News.
Good morning and welcome to CBS This Morning.
Join Tony DeCoppel, Anthony Mason, and Gail King weekday mornings on CBS This Morning.
Adjusting to a new normal means we need to be smart about how we do business. Thousands of small business owners have discovered the benefits of Stamps.com and kept their businesses running while avoiding trips to the post office. With Stamps.com, you can print postage on demand, and you'll never pay full price with access to discounted rates you can't even get at the post office, like 5 cents off every stamp and up to 62% off USPS and UPS shipping rates. Print official stamps and labels right from your home or office computer for any letter, any package, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail's ready, just leave it for your mail carrier. Schedule a free package pickup or drop it off. It's a no-brainer. Right now, listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale with no long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone in the top of the homepage, and type in Sky. That's Stamps.com. Enter.
The views expressed on the Buckmaster radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy John Couch, John engineering and producing the program. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, the first Monday of August. It's August 3rd. The 30th anniversary of the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait, that launched the Operation Desert Shield, which morphed into Operation Desert Storm, which was the liberation of Kuwait 30 years ago. Here we are on the radio bringing people together in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We are on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we take the live feed from kvoi.com. Every Monday we kick off the program and have done this done it this way since we launched our radio show back in January of 2011. We kick off the week with our team of commentators on the Monday Political Face-Off. I will introduce them in a moment after I tell you that the Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985. Please check out their revamped and updated website. They are now open for business as far as e-commerce is concerned. Of course, you can walk in, and they would welcome you walking in at Fort Lowell and Dodge. But check out the e-commerce, and I have a connection to the website because they're featuring the Bill Buckmaster collection of fine antique maps and prints. Everything very reasonably priced, several hundred-year-old items there that would make a beautiful addition after Mo frames them up for your office or den. A lot of people are doing the Zoom stuff at home. Why not have something really nice over your shoulder like a beautiful antique print or map? Mo's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and the website is moesgallery.com. Now I'm going to introduce our team of commentators. First, on the live line from the Emerald City of Seattle, Dr. Don Jorgensen and his lovely wife spending some time up in the Pacific Northwest. Don is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Did it cool down a little bit? I think you guys had some temperatures, Don, up in the lower 90s. Are you back to more seasonal normals of upper 70s?
It's gorgeous. It's supposed to be in the 80s most of this week before getting down to the mid-70s. So I really have no complaints. We're enjoying the time and the cool weather. Just wonderful. What's interesting here is, we'll get back to this later, I also get to watch the primary in a state that has 100% mail-in voting.
Wow. Okay, with me in studio is David Eppigheimer. David is the chairman of the Pima County Republican Party. David, how are you today?
Doing great. We're healthy and staying fit. Worked out this morning, so everything's cool.
Now, your workout consists of what, some aerobics or what?
Well, it's stretching and aerobics and then a little bit of weights and some push-ups and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, you
staying,
look like...
Staying fit for... someone my age.
Yeah, well, you may I ask how old you are?
Oh, well, you can ask.
Okay.
No.
Well, you look great, I'll tell you.
Thank you.
All right. Don, I sent you over some of these numbers. What do you make of the early ballot returns? Apparently, Arizona Democrats are continuing to outperform the 2018 primary. I went through all these counties, all are on the plus side.
They are. Arizona Democrats are beating the primary early ballot return. And those numbers are from 4 years ago where, the increase is significant across the state, less so with the Republicans. Although going back 4 years is really almost ancient history now with the increase in mail-in voting and, of course, now with the enthusiasm for the upcoming election, both tomorrow and in November. I think the more significant number, there's actually two more significant numbers. One is the returns statewide versus just Democrats versus Republicans. And in each of the last two voting cycles, 2016 and 2018, Republican mail-in voting far outperformed Democrats by some 20,000 ballots or higher. This year to date, Democrats have turned in more mail-in ballots statewide by about 2,000. So it's, I think, more of a testament, not to the GOP. I think they're voting in pretty much the same numbers, although there has been drops, as you pointed out, in about six counties. But it's a testament to the strength and the enthusiasm of Democratic voting, even at this stage of the year.
Yeah, and Pima County, by the way, the Democratic side up 13%. That's from 2018. David Eppigheimer, or was that a 20? No, that's up from the 20. So we're talking 4 years. So that's Pima County's up 13% from the 2016 primary. And I think I may have
misspoken and said 2018 at the beginning of this conversation. All right, David, what do you make of some of these numbers? Pima County, is the returns show about a 4% deficit. Some of these counties, like our neighbors to the south, 50% less than Santa Cruz County?
Whoa. I can't explain that, but I think that the cause of what you're seeing is a little different than what Don analyzed and came up with. I think that in the primary, the parties are running against themselves. You're not running Republicans against Democrats. You're running against yourselves in these primary races. And we, for instance, we only have five contested races in Pima County, and two of those, one of them is the statewide Senate race, and one of them is in CD1, which is barely Pima County. It's CD1 is Pinal,
up in the northwest.
So if you take those two out of the equation, we've only got three contested primaries in Pima County. To me, these primary numbers mean nothing, absolutely nothing. The only race that matters is the general, and that's when we're going to square off against each other. We have just as much enthusiasm, and I would say more enthusiasm, about the general coming up than the Democrats. Our people are energized, and we're gonna have in Pima County, which is my responsibility, not the state. Pima County, we're going to have the most robust get-out-the-vote campaign that I think we've had in decades here in Pima County, and you'll see these numbers much more competitive. And I predict that we will outdo the Democrats in our turnout, just like we did in the last city election. We didn't win it, but we outperformed the Democrats in the last city election by some 5 points. We plan on outperforming the Democrats in Pima County in this upcoming general.
Don, and I know David is going to say that there's going to be a robust enthusiasm, pretty much, right, David?
Yes, absolutely.
For the fall election, because you've got CD, you've got the McSally race,
CD two, where Ann Kirkpatrick is extremely beatable, very vulnerable, and we plan on winning that race.
Do you think McSally can still win?
Of course.
Okay.
Absolutely, of course.
What do you think, Don?
Well, I was kind of astounded to just hear the county GOP chair say that the primary race doesn't matter to him when he has, as he said, at least three races being contested.
I didn't say that, Don. I said the analysis of Democrats versus Republicans doesn't matter.
All right. Well, people heard what you said. But here's the issue. Is there Republican enthusiasm? Sure. You've got kind of the always Trumpers who are going to vote no matter what. And the even year races like this, or the presidential races, always bring out a lot of enthusiasm. I expect that the GOP will vote as they have statewide each time. The difference this year is what we are saying, and that's the tremendous increase in Democratic voting and Democratic turnout. That's why the numbers today and tomorrow are so critical, and what's going to happen between now and November is so critical. Look at Pima County overall. Over 50% of the mail-in ballots have already been sent in, and the numbers are just amazing. That scares the Republicans. That's why we're seeing so much kind of squealing by the president and by the GOP about trying to find all kinds of ways to suppress voting, both with mail-in ballots and later with face-to-face. We saw the Arizona GOP, Republican Party retweet the president's insane comments about mail-in voting fraud when we know it essentially does not exist. And the result of that is going to be kind of ironic, because here is David touting the Republican mail-in balloting enthusiasm while his state party and the president himself is attacking it. And the result of that has been, both in Arizona and in other swing states like Florida and Michigan, comparisons between Democrats who are highly enthusiastic about voting by mail and Republicans who are less enthusiastic. And you have to wonder how that's going to impact Republican voting, especially voting by mail in November, when their own president is telling them it's dangerous.
David, real quickly before we take the break.
I have to respond to that.
Yes, I know. And then we have FN Rodriguez who called us, so she'll be up right after the break. But go ahead before the break.
Yes, that Don's little diatribe right there was just straight out of the Democrat playbook. It's just ridiculous to say that we're not enthusiastic, and you talked about not enthusiastic about mail. I'm not the president, and what we are doing in Pima County is to get the vote out, whether it's mail-in or on voting on election day. The number is that over 70% of Republicans are on the Pebble. And you know that, Don, and I know that, Don. And so we have no quarrel with the Pebble, and we are getting our vote out in November, whether it's Pebble or in-person voting, all voting. And in Pima County, you're going to see us beat you in percentage of turnout, just like we did in the city. And in the state of Arizona, you're going to get beat because there's more of us, and we're going to turn out the vote in a higher percentage than you will.
All right, we'll hold right there, Don and David. And FN Rodriguez, who has called us, we'll get to you, FN, after we take the break. But this is the Monday political face-off in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. David Eppheimer, the Republican chair, is with us, local chair. And Don Jorgensen is on the live line, former Democrat Party Chair, and F.N. Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder, is with us on the live line. Hi, F.N.
How you doing?
Good.
And gentlemen, I've worked with both of you, and it's nice to hear you on the radio show getting your messaging out.
All right.
Well, thanks. Thanks for your long years of service to Pima County, F.N. You've been terrific.
Yeah, and thank you for calling in, F.N. It's good to hear from you.
Well, thank you. One of the things I do want to remind your listening audience, there is a couple of things, is that, you know, today we're having emergency voting at various locations throughout the county. But the very popular for this year we tried is curbside drop off your early ballot. And that has been very well received and accepted by the voters here in Pima County. So we will continue to doing that one. So people feel comfortable with that, and that's what it's all about. But tomorrow is Election Day, and everybody needs to be prepared. I don't run the polling locations. However, I do know that there's been lots of polling location changes, schools, center, churches. So the voting public should not assume that they went to their regular polling location that it's going to be open. So they need to do their due diligence. They can go to my website, click on recorder.pima.gov, click on polling location, and enter their information, and it'll tell them where their polling location is for this election. That's really, really important. Because of COVID, a lot of facilities didn't want to agree to use their facilities for polling location, and that's the way it is. The other thing, they have to have their proper ID. They can drop off their voted ballot there at the polling locations, too. Make sure you sign it and give us a daytime phone number in case we have a problem with your signature.
Okay.
And voters can also track from our website ballot status. But we really need to push independents out there or party not designated to participate in these elections, because some elections are going to be decided in the primary and then it's all over.
That's it.
So, that's it, you know, don't complain, and afterwards, so we citizen participation.
Good.
And they can call my office at 724-4330.
All right.
I'll let you guys, gentlemen, go back to your lively discussion.
Thank you.
And wish everybody well, health and safety during these hard times that we're experiencing in today's world.
Thank you very much, F.N. Rodriguez. Thanks for your service, and thanks for giving us those that update. David Eppheimer, what will the messaging be for Republicans this fall?
Oh, well, I think that here locally, Pima County, our messaging is going to be very simple. Are you happy with the direction that Pima County is going? The answer is a resounding no, I think, of for most voters. You know, whether it's roads, whether it's giving $15 million to Mark Kelly for his facility out by the airport that wound up blowing up. If you're happy with what Pima County's been doing and you're happy with that direction, then vote Democrat. If you aren't, and we suspect most people are not, then the answer is vote Republican. So that's going to be our message. Are you happy with what's going on here in Pima County? We feel confident that that's a winning message.
And what will the message be that you believe will be winning, Don Jorgensen?
Well, the winning message is getting back to competent leadership at the national level down to the state level. You know, by
by this time of the year, and certainly by Election Day, we are supposed to have, at least according to the Republicans, we are supposed to have a fading pandemic and a roaring recovery. Instead, we have a fading recovery and a roaring pandemic. And that's due to just the catastrophic leadership. And so what folks are looking for is what the Democrats are offering, and that's a return to competent, experienced leadership and common sense. We're looking at that whether you're talking about Joe Biden, whether you're talking about Mark Kelly, all the way down the list. Folks are saying enough is enough with these failed promises from the Republican Party, who have been in leadership in the state for decades, and certainly at the federal level. We've seen the result just in the past 4 years, both in the Senate and in the White House. And, you know, that's a strong motivator, and that's why we're seeing the enthusiasm on the part of the Democratic voters, and we'll see the change in November.
Well, that's the strategy of the Democrat Party, is to blame COVID-19 on the current administration, which, of course, is a lie, and to talk about a faltering economy when, if you look at the stock market, it's just about back to where it was before the pandemic hit. You know, you got a playbook that you're following from the top down all the way through, and it's filled with untruths and exaggerations. The fact of the matter is that here in Pima County, we have a failed Democrat government. The city of Tucson is a failed enterprise. And Pima County, with a 3-2 Democrat majority on the Board of Supervisors, fails constantly. We talk about Pima County here. And Pima County is where we're going to be fighting this battle. And it's to get an totally incompetent representative out of her office in CD2 and replace her with somebody that can do the job. It's to get that Board of Supervisors to at least a 3-2 Republican majority so we can get this county back on track and, quite frankly, save Pima County. If Tucson is a failed enterprise, which it is, our only hope for a bright future in southern Arizona is to capture the Board of Supervisors and get it back on track.
All right. Don, you and I both reside in Pima County Supervisorial District Number 1. That's an interesting race because you've got two Democrats in the primary and you've got a four-way in the primary. That district is becoming, I guess you could call it purple. That could be a competitive race, couldn't it, in that District 1?
It could. I want to comment on just a couple of things real quick that David just said, and then I'll turn to to that race. You know, he mentioned that, tried to state that Democrats are blaming the failure on COVID and there's a rising stock market. Yeah, COVID isn't Trump's fault. The failed response to it is, and that's the whole issue with just a catastrophic failure to provide a national successful plan to deal with it. As for the stock market rising, that's great if you're rich, but that doesn't help the majority of hardworking Americans and families who are facing unemployment or low unemployment or evictions or lack of health care and all those issues that have not been addressed for 4 years.
And quickly,
as
about
for Supervisory District 1, on the Democratic side, we've got two folks who are writing ranked strong races, and Rex Scott is one of them who looks very strong there. I think he'll take that race. On the Republican side, I'll leave it to David to identify who's the leader there. You've got quite a mix of Trumpers and moderates, and then I read what a lot of folks read in the paper about Vic Williams and some issues there with perhaps violating election laws. But it'll be interesting to see. That'll be a tough race, particularly since the difference in Democrat and Republican registrations have shrunk from about a 12,000 vote Republican advantage 4 years ago to, I think, less than 3,000 today.
So yeah, I think so.
It is a competitive race.
All right. David, can the Republicans hold District 1?
Oh, absolutely. We will hold District 1. There's no question. We'll hold 1. We'll hold 4. We will be working very hard. We have a candidate in all five districts, and so we plan on running a robust campaign in all five. But we will look forward to sending Sharon Bronson into retirement and recapturing that seat, and maybe one more. We have a lot to be excited about in this upcoming general, and I can't handicap number one among the four Republican challengers. It could be very, very close, I think, among three of them, and a very small margin will probably take that in terms of a Republican general candidate.
David Eppenheimer, thank you for coming in. And Don Jorgensen, Don, enjoy what's left of your summer up in the Seattle area. Thank you, sir.
I'll do my best. Thank you, Bill.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Now revamped website. Check out their e-commerce.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Monday edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Green Things, your go-to place. It has been my go-to place for many, many years for all of our beautiful plants, for our rose bushes. I think there's something about the fact that they do all that growing. It's, they're homegrown plants on their 13-acre site. So then when you buy them and take them home, there's not a big shock to the plants. I mean, Southern Arizona is their home. They grew up here. Green Things, located 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Couple of websites for you, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com for all that great merchandise, much of it imported, beautiful handmade items in Zocalo Village. The Buckmaster Show contributor on the military and foreign affairs is retired four-star General John Wickham Jr. General Wickham served as the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of the United Nations Command and Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. He's the author of the book Korea on the Brink, chronicling a very dangerous period in Korea in 1979 after the assassination of South Korean President Park Chung-hee. General Wickham was critically wounded in Vietnam. He spent over a year in the hospital recovering. He returned to Vietnam, where he was responsible for negotiating the release of all prisoners of war. A 1950 graduate of West Point, General Wickham retired in 1987, after serving four decades in the Army. And the Army Times has named General Wickham one of the 10 leaders who most changed the United States Army. General Wickham with us on the live line. General, how are you today?
Good. Great, Bill, to be on your wonderful program.
Thank you very much, General. I know you are not at all happy about what's going on with the Pentagon deciding to pull 12,000 U.S. troops from Germany.
Yes, that's a mistake, in my humble opinion. The troops there have played a vital role with NATO in deterring the Soviet Union, Russia now, and I think also it's a stabilizing influence in Europe. And also, I think Americans need to recognize that the Germans have paid for much, if not all, of the fees associated with landing, being on their land. So it's not been a costly thing to do. So I think it's a mistake to do that. It's a wrong time to do it. We should be stabilizing Europe instead of trying to undermine things. So, and the argument is that Germany has not paid enough in its defense. Well, that may be true, but that's the wrong reason to do something like this. So I'm really surprised at what the administration is doing.
And there has been bipartisan congressional opposition. Many are raising concerns, especially the NATO allies, that this appears to be fueled, at least in part, by President Trump's displeasure at Germany's failure to spend more on defense.
That's true, and as I pointed out, I think it's the wrong reason to do that. Other nations are not spending enough either. We vary on that, and so I don't think that's a smart thing to do. One little comment along that line, Bill. Building the wall with Mexico is being done by Defense Department funds, money being diverted from Defense Department and the Veterans Affairs. For example, my copay in TRICARE for Life on all of my prescriptions has been generally about $7 a prescription. Suddenly, they've gone up to $300.
What?
For a prescription. And so who's paying for the wall? Veterans are doing it. And so I don't think the administration walks the talk about caring for veterans, and neither does the Congress. So I think it's a mistake, and the American people should be really upset about that kind of treatment of our veterans.
Are you saying your prescription now, it's up to $300?
That's the copay.
The copay.
Just on some eye drops. That's an illustration of what's happened. And for all veterans are now being suffering this kind of diversion of funding. So I think it's, and some of the Democrats have argued this illegal to do this, what the administration is doing, but they're doing it because they don't care enough about veterans. And I think the American people need to be concerned about that, because look what veterans have done. And we have Veterans Affairs programs where we celebrate the veterans. Well, let's care for them financially as opposed to abusing them the way the Trump administration is doing.
Is there a move to try to move troops out of Korea as well as Germany?
Yes, there has been, and President Trump has argued that Korea needs to be punished because they have not been cooperative enough on the defense funding, and that's wrong, because actually the troops over there are being compensated for the rent and on the facilities by the Koreans. So, and also I think Americans need to recognize that South Korea has been one of the real success stories in American foreign policy. It's one of the nations that's like the United States in democracy. It's a nation that has been economically very wealthy and a leader in Asia. So we really need to continue to work closely with South Korea as an important ally that can be helpful to us.
How about China? Do you see, are we in a position right now, weakened by this COVID-19, that China may try to take advantage of our situation, our readiness?
They are, and exactly right, Bill. China is capitalizing on our weakness in leadership. We have given up our role as leader in Asia and in NATO and in the world, as a matter of fact. So, and China is doing that. Now, one of the situations with China is that they are very capable with specialized technology. And I think they're capitalizing on that technology, on the internet. And American industry has not done adequately to protect our technology and industry. So satellite, internet, that kind of thing. So, and we are very vulnerable. Our airline companies could be shut down in a moment by an attack on the internet, which Russia could do or China could do. And so we're not doing enough to defend ourselves and build a resistance. And that's another unfortunate thing that's going on.
So you think they are ahead in cyber technology and could really cripple this country, bringing our utilities, bringing the internet, everything down?
Amen. Amen. And they have, now, are the Chinese doing this purposely? No, I don't think so. But I think China, like Russia, is capitalizing on American weakness, our undermining of democracy, and our denial of our role as a leader in the world. So it's really the worst situation I've ever seen in my 41 years in uniform. And I think the American people need to be sensitive to what's happening. We're undermining democracy that has played so important role in the world of peace and growth in humanity. And we're undermining it by the Trump administration and the way it's exercising policy. And they talk about diplomacy. Well, guess what? As I mentioned on your program, our State Department is only 60% manned with professionals. How can you have diplomacy when you don't have professionals in occupying positions in the State Department and embassies? So we've just not done right.
General Wickham, always a pleasure. Sounding really good there. 92 years old and going strong, General Wickham.
You've got a wonderful program, Bill, and your objective view of the world is very valuable. And I think we need more media leaders like you that are doing this for the American people and the world, as a matter of fact.
Thank you very much, General. Very much appreciate your support. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next month. Thanks.
Okay.
General Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Up next, Keith Rosenblum with our Mexico report.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Guests appear on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. When they will be ready to welcome you again with open arms, you can start planning now for your trip over to Silver City. And right now, they are not welcoming guests from out of state, but hopefully that will change very soon due to the COVID-19 situation. So I strongly suggest doing your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. The Buckmaster Show contributor on Mexico is longtime border journalist Keith Rosenblum, who joins us on the first of the month with our Mexico report. Keith, how are you?
Hello, Bill. Looking forward to participating today, as a matter of fact.
A couple of days ago, last week, in fact, the United States had a gross national product drop. It was about 32% drop, the lowest really ever, at least in recorded history. I'm just wondering, how is Mexico faring economically through this COVID crisis?
Well, you know, Bill, I would say that the Mexicans have been very frugal, and so their economy is actually, they finally, Canada and the U.S. had a different definition of essential business, and so that meant some headaches for Mexican companies that were shut, and the U.S. automobile, in our defense, believe it or not, our defense industry relies vastly on the Mexican supply chain. So Mexico has been very frugal in terms of giving money or incentives. They have been a couple of programs where they've, I think, for not for small business, but for large business, they've spent a lot on doctors and on respirators and other infrastructure. But I would say that given what we've done in the U.S. in terms of our, whether they're election year payoffs to the population or just simply a strategy that has nothing to do with election year, whatever the case, the Mexicans have been one-third more frugal, one-third that of that amount. In other words, very little money. And they have money. Mexico has money coming in from lots of sources. Well, not from oil right now, obviously, because of the glut. But President López Obrador, and I think I've told you this before, I watch him 5 days a week for anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half on either YouTube or Facebook. And he's held firm. And it's funny because people think he's a leftist crazy guy who's going to drive the country into the ground. But fiscally, he's been very, very conservative. And so a lot of people who I know in Mexico are actually bummed out because the guy has kept them from working. And at the same time, he hasn't given them much in the way of compensation. And when he have, by the way, it's been loans, like a lot like our loan program.
But there's been no stimulus program to each Mexican citizen?
Nope. No way. Very minor. What López Obrador has done since he took office 2 years ago is to go through the pension program of the country and say, we've been really remiss in this and this. He's gone and increased the numbers of people who are eligible for what for us would be Social Security type of benefits. Anyone who's 60, am I right here, 68 and over, 67 and over, now has a pension. Sometimes it's a small amount. Sometimes we're talking about 2,200 or 2,500 pesos. We're talking about, you know, $110, $120 per month. But he's vastly increased the number of people who are on those payrolls. He's tried to figure out also how to handle what's called the economía informal, which is the informal economy. That's what the term that they use to discuss people who are outside of the reach of their IRS, Hacienda, and give them some kind of pension. The guy really does have his heart in the right place, and he's also with students. Students of every kind are now receiving benefits as well. The question is whether he's going to be able to maintain this rate of spending without harming the overall economy. Up until now, he's done okay. He keeps insisting in every one of his lectures, because listening to López Obrador is like being lectured by your grandpa. He just sits down and he lectures you for an hour. And when these reporters ask him questions, he sometimes laughs at their questions and then launches into a new lecture. This is like somewhere between Monty Python and some other kind of Saturday Night Live. But he does. He lectures. So when he's asked these questions about pensions, he just says, we'll take care of it. He says, no problem. With what we're going to recover, because corruption is no longer going to be tolerated in my government, and also he's cut the salaries of the no one can earn more than the president, right? That's a rule. That is a rule that might even be enshrined in the Constitution. Mm. The president cut his own pay from the equivalent, I want to say, of $12,000 a month to something like $6,000 a month, all
really?
Benefits included.
Wow.
Yeah. And nobody, so everybody else who was earning, you know, a reasonable, and it's not that cheap to live in Mexico City or Guadalajara or these other places or Monterey. So if you were earning a reasonable government salary as a minister of some kind or of $7,000 or $8,000, you know, the equivalent of a month, you're down back to where the president is, which is $6,000. That explains the one other reason there's been a lot of turnover in the Mexican civil service. Is because you can't earn more than the president, and the president doesn't earn that much anymore. And he lives, the thing you have to love about the guy is just how austerely he lives. He flew to Washington for the meeting with President Trump commercially. He changed planes like you and I might. Well, you don't. You have your own private jet.
Sure.
But he would, for those of us who travel, he'd sweep, change planes in either Houston or Dallas, and he flew back commercially. And he drives his own car. As part of that's a show, but he drives, he's one of the most frugal guy, if he keeps railing against the junk food industry, he's at war with Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, Bimbo. The Mexican government's now on a kind of a full frontal charge to change people's nutrition, which makes sense, too, because Mexico, like the U.S., is fat. Lots of very weird and very cool stuff happening in that country. I love it. I love watching it. I love, to the extent that I can, being a part of it. And I continue to be more optimistic, if it's possible, more optimistic about Mexico than I am about the U.S. The U.S. is we've hit some kind of moment where we're just duking it out on all these issues of the day. And we're ignoring a lot of looming things that are more important. Mexico's not in that gridlock right now. Mexico's much more looking forward than we are. We're stuck in a fisticuffs at so many levels.
I've only got about a minute left. Is there a mask requirement in Mexico?
Indeed, there is, and I adhere to it. You won't get in. I think it might be more critical and more severe than ours. You don't go anywhere in Mexico without a mask. And if you dare to, if I walk into an Oxxo, which is their 17,000 of in Mexico. That's like their equivalent to the Circle K and a 7-Eleven all together. They will shout you out.
Are they getting a grip on the coronavirus?
No, they're in the same situation as we are. Probably a little bit better per capita. And a little bit better now in social distancing, but there have been fights within the state governments and the federal governments. They've had the same. China could close the country down because of their autocratic leadership. Mexico, for better or for worse, is still a country with 32 states where governors have a lot of autonomy, and the federal government a lot of times just has to be sidelined by what the states and municipalities decide.
All right, Keith Rosenblum, it's always a pleasure to check in with you. Thank you for participating in the program.
It's fun, and it makes me think, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Keith Rosenblum checking in with the Mexico Report. We try to bring Keith on at least once a month. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, this Monday edition. Dave Ramsey with his popular show on money is coming up next. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appearing on the program use the Buckmaster Show Live Line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. My thanks to John Couch, engineering and producing the program. Both John and I hope you have a very safe and very fruitful afternoon. Have a good day.